From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week, on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the Republican-controlled House elects a Speaker of the House, and it's unanimous. And the first order of business, a resolution in support of Israel. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Well, it finally happened, and it's evident that your prayers made the difference. The House of Representatives has elected a new speaker, and it's Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson. And joining Tony Perkins on Thursday to talk about the new speaker, as well as the direction of the Congress as a result, is House Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
Leader Scalise, welcome back to the program.
Tony, always great to be back with you.
So I don't know if you heard me at the opening, but they've found some damaging information on Mike Johnson. He has a covenant marriage. And you know a little bit about that because you helped me pass that back in 1997.
It was your bill when you were a state representative. I was proud to support the bill. And Mike Johnson was one of the earliest ones to marry his beautiful wife, Kelly, and was featured nationally about it, you know. And if that's what they're going to attack him on, then boy, they've really found a great one. Let's keep telling this story.
Well, let me say this. I just want to commend you, Steve, for the way you handled all of this in the last few weeks. I know you've got many things going on, and we had you on the program, and we've been praying for you, for your health. But also, you were being considered for speaker, and that was a difficult process. And then when everybody unified around Mike yesterday, you came right there with him, and you were right at his side. And I'm excited, quite frankly, for the House, because now there's going to be a seamless relationship in the leadership with the Speaker and the leader and the rest working together to move the Congress forward.
Well, Tony, it was so important that we come back together and get the House open together and unify. And Mike Johnson's a dear friend. I've known him for almost 20 years back to when we were in the State House. We fought a lot of battles together. Mike and I are both former Republican Study Committee chairmen, you know, so, you know, conservatives at heart, and we want the same things for the country. And so, you know, philosophically, we're right on the same page. I met with him yesterday. We rolled out a new a calendar last night. We were supposed to be out back in our districts the next 2 weeks. We're coming back to D.C. because we've got a lot of work to do to make up for lost time, to get our appropriations process back on track, to get spending under control, to get our border secure, to lower inflation, to support Israel, to stand up to Iran. We're bringing a piece of legislation next week, Tony, to ban Iran exports of oil. They're making billions of dollars selling their oil and using that to fund Hamas to go and invade and attack and kill Jews and Americans and others in Israel. I mean, why would we be helping Iran? Biden administration dropped sanctions on Iran to let them sell more oil and make billions of dollars. We're bringing a bill to stop that. We can make more energy in America. We can make it cleaner, right, and that money doesn't go to Hamas. So we're going to bring those bills next week. Mike's ready to get us to work, and I am really proud of him, but proud to be there with him as the majority leader to get our agenda back on track. And I think most Americans, as they get to know Mike Johnson, they're going to love his passion, his love for this country, and his desire to get back to the constitutional principles, Tony, that you and I know we hold so dear but are being threatened by the left right now.
You know, Steve, yesterday in his remarks before the House, you know, he made reference to, I'm actually quoting scripture about how, you know, difficulties, persevering through that, it makes us stronger, it gives us greater hope. The House has been through a lot just this year since this new Congress, but the last 3 weeks. In your opinion, is the Congress stronger? Is there more hope? I mean, I certainly saw it yesterday, but you're there right in the middle of it. Is there more optimism moving forward?
There absolutely is. And look, the last 3 weeks, it's not like we were just sitting around. I mean, we were having a lot of internal conversations, Tony, about how we make the institution work better. This town is broken. Washington has been failing the American people for too long. Both parties. You don't see the Democrats doing anything to try to change what is broken. They're making things worse for families. They're moving towards socialism. We spent the last 3 weeks, and I was involved in a lot of these conversations, talking about how to refocus on the things that matter to the struggling families, the hardworking families, the people that get up in every day and go to work, and they're tired of waking up going, what is a federal agency going to do to come after me today when I'm just trying to go about my life? You know, what federal agency is going to try to make a small business have to shut down because they're putting burdens and regulations that make no sense, the woke stuff coming out of every agency, all of this garbage that makes families struggle, raises costs, and does nothing to promote what is great about this country. How do we confront it better? And that's what we're focused on. You don't see, the Senate did nothing, by the way, for the last 3 weeks, and they weren't in disarray. Well, they had a functioning majority, and they didn't do any work.
That's
the
nothing
press
new.
Doesn't cover that.
Right, that's not new.
I don't mind if the press covers the fact that we spent 3 weeks focusing on how to make the House work better, because now we are refocused. And our focus is going to benefit the American people who are sick and tired of what's broken about Washington.
Well, you said the Senate's not working. Well, I mean, that's really nothing new. But I do want to play a clip from the Senate scare leader, Chuck Schumer, today on the Senate floor. Clip 5.
If Speaker Johnson repeats the mistakes of Speaker McCarthy, if he tumbles down the MAGA road, it will be inevitable that the House finds itself trapped in even more chaos very soon.
So I think the message from Scare Leader Schumer is the Republicans in the House need to wave a white flag and just sign up and go with our agenda.
Yeah, and they don't even know what MAGA means. It's like when the Tea Party movement was emerging and Nancy Pelosi called it fomentum and all those words, and then she lost the majority not long after because it was people sick and tired of Washington trampling over the rights of hardworking people. That's what the left has been doing for the last few years since COVID. When you saw all the shutdowns in the blue states, and then you saw the red states saying, we're going to open up and embrace freedom, and we're going to let parents have a say in their kids' education. And the Democrats were the ones standing in the way embracing socialism and shutdowns. And the people who could move, they moved out of blue states and moved to red states. Well, we can't move out of the United States. We have to fix what's broken right in this country. And that means we need to change the people that are running Washington. And Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden are not going to be in office come the end of next year because I think the American people are sick and tired of the socialist movement, the big government socialism. It's failed everywhere. It's been tried in other countries. We cannot let them ruin this great country, and they're trying to.
Congressman Steve Scalise, one final question for you. We're almost up against a break, but the House is just one branch. You've got the one chamber of the legislative branch. How are you going to drive that contrast so the American people see the choice that's before them come next November?
Tony, I think it starts with the border and with spending. And I think the American people are already with us. This is where Joe Biden really doesn't get it. You don't just have Republicans. You've got Democrat mayors. Look at Abrams in New York. You've got mayors all across the country. The mayor of Dallas just switched parties from Democrat to Republican. If they don't realize what's going on in this country because they open the border, millions of people come across, including people on the terrorist watch list, people from Middle Eastern countries that want to do us harm that have not been vetted at a time when you just saw how dangerous the world has gotten. Joe Biden has opened up our border and let the drug cartels take over and bring in drugs that are killing our young people. People are sick and tired of it in every community in America, and he won't do anything. We are going to stand up and fight, and we're not just fighting alone. We're fighting now with Democrats who are sick and tired of it, too. The American people are figuring this out, and Joe Biden won't. And if he doesn't get on board and work with us to fix it, he won't be president come the end of next year.
Yeah. Congressman Steve Scalise, again, excellent job this week. You just made, I'm so proud of you. You've done such a great job, and just appreciate you coming on today, and always great to talk with you.
Well, appreciate your faith. Appreciate your prayers along the way, Tony. I know you pray for us, for our country. Your listeners have prayed for my health, and I thank you because my health is getting dramatically better. But this country needs to come back. Everybody who believes in freedom here in America and the world counts on us. We cannot let this great country fail. We won't.
You're absolutely right. Love you, brother. Have a good weekend.
Love you. Thank you. God bless.
All right, folks, pray. You heard it right there from Steve Scalise, but let's pray for the Speaker and the Congress. Text the word SPEAKER to 67742 and join the effort. All right, more Washington Watch on the other side of the break. Don't go away. We're back after this.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But it isn't easy. As the culture continues to become increasingly divided, believers must continue defending biblical truth while many on the left wish to silence and marginalize Christians. Will you join us? Your financial support has never been more important. Thanks to your partnership, we can continue to reach more Americans with the important news from Washington, D.C. Equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Every donation we receive will go towards preserving and advancing policies for a culture that honors faith, family, and freedom. To give, text the word GIVE to 67742. Again, text GIVE to 67742.
To Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. As I was mentioning as we were going into the break, we are calling folks to 21 days of prayer for Speaker Johnson and the Congress so that they can get things back on track moving forward. And if you'd like to join in this effort, you can sign a pledge to pray. Text Speaker to 67742, and I'm going to share that with him. Or you can go to frc.org/House Speaker. Well, now that the House of Representatives has a speaker, Congress is back to work. And with government funding set to expire November the 7th, spending negotiations have become a top priority for Speaker Johnson and his Republican colleagues. Now, conservatives agree that continuing resolutions for stopgap funding are not ideal, but we've only got less than about 3 weeks, and there's no way to get the appropriations done. Not within that time frame. So what is the way forward? Joining me now to talk about this, Mississippi Congressman Michael Guest. He is a member of the House Appropriations Committee, so he should know. Congressman Guest represents the 3rd Congressional District. Congressman Guest, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. And look, I want to tell you how excited I am that Mike Johnson is our new Speaker of the House. He is a humble, godly man. You contrast him with our last Democrat Speaker of the House. You have someone who is a man of faith. He's pro-life, believes in traditional family values. He values the Constitution, believes in limited government, rule of law. He is going to be an incredible speaker, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to have voted for him and to serve under his leadership.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we're going to see some great things ahead. And one of those things, he's already involved in the negotiations involving government funding. So what do we know? What are we looking at in terms of addressing the November 17th government funding issue?
Well, you know, I'll have to say that Mike has really hit the ground running. You know, 2 days as Speaker, yesterday he was able to get to the floor a resolution supporting Israel and condemning Hamas. Today, his second day as Speaker, we passed one of our 12 appropriations bills, the energy and water bill. And so now we've seen that the House of Representatives has passed 5 of the 12 spending bills. We know that our friends in the Senate have yet to pass a single spending bill out of their entire body. But we have a very aggressive timetable. I think Steve Scalise mentioned that just a few moments ago on your show. That Mike will work to see that all appropriations bills are brought to the floor in the next 3 weeks. But we will have to address the fact that government funding will run out. Even if the House is able to pass all the appropriations bills, we won't have time to marry the House bill with the Senate bills and get those bills to the president's desk. So it will necessitate at some point a short-term continuing resolution to give us time to finish the work on that process.
Michael, I want to come back to that short-term stopgap measure, but I want to go back to something you said a moment ago. The Senate has not yet passed any of their appropriations bills out of the chamber. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they have not been absent a leader, maybe an effective leader, but not absent a leader. Chuck Schumer's running the Senate over there. They've not yet passed a single appropriations bill?
That's correct. And historically, the last several years, that's what you see. The Senate does not pass appropriation bills out of the entire Senate. They will try to use the committee markup, the bills as they come out of committee to negotiate with the House. But they have not, they have yet to pass one. The House has taken up six. We passed five of the six, and the ag bill, we were unable to get across the finish line. We will make changes to that, and we will renegotiate and bring that before the House for a full vote again. But we've been able to pass almost half of the appropriation bills in the House. And again, that includes the fact that we had the debt ceiling negotiations where we were unable to mark those bills up because we didn't know the spending number. And then the 3 weeks that we've lost legislative time as we were electing Mike Johnson to be our next speaker.
Well, it appears that maybe the media just missed that aspect because I haven't seen them reporting on the fact that the Senate's done nothing.
Well, and you're exactly right. You know, the House is often blamed for things when we are actually moving. I mean, we are much further along under Republican leadership than we ever were when Nancy Pelosi was speaker. We were never this far along when Democrats controlled this chamber. And so even with the chaos that we've seen over the last several weeks, Republicans are working hard to honor the promise that we made to the American public, which is, we want to get back to regular order. We want to pass 12 individual spending bills. We don't want to get jammed with an omnibus bill, which is what we've seen right. Time and time again.
So let's go to that continuing resolution, short-term spending gap. Before all of this kind of blew up, there had been a proposed continuing resolution, short-term funding, that actually dialed back government spending, if I recall correctly, about 8%. It dealt with border security issues. Are we going to see something like that again?
I hope so. I hope that Mike will look at what Republicans offered before. Again, you talk about the fact that it had border security, that there was a debt commission which would look at long-term spending, what we can do to bring that spending curve down. And it also had a 30% across-the-board spending cut that excluded programs. Of course, this dealt only with discretionary spending, not mandatory. But if you take out defense and veterans, it was and homeland, it was a 30% across the board cut. I hope that Mike will offer something like that again, allow us the opportunity to vote on that, and then we can send it to the Senate and let the Senate respond as to whether or not they plan to keep right. The government open or not.
So do you think you'll be able to get that type of support among your Republican colleagues in the House for a measure like that?
I do. You know, we were very close last time under Speaker McCarthy, came just a few votes short. I will tell you that no Democrat in this chamber will support that. So we as Republicans right. Are going to have to carry that exclusively.
I thought it was a good proposal. I mean, you're dialing back spending, you're addressing the border. And if I'm not mistaken, Speaker Johnson announced yesterday that there would be a bipartisan debt committee that will be looking at debt.
He did. He announced that yesterday from the roster and after he had been sworn in. But you're exactly right. You know, as far as this is the first time since I've been in Congress where we actually propose legislation in a CR to cut spending. Every other time we've either increased spending or we've left spending flat.
Right.
This would have been a decrease in spending. This is something that the American public wants to see Congress do.
I hope it gets teed up again. Congressman Michael Guest, thanks so much for joining us today. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you letting me be on.
You can find out more about Michael Guest, as well as how you can join us as we spend the next 21 days praying for Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Are you a pastor or ministry leader? Then join Family Research Council's Association of Churches and Ministries. This community is for pastors and ministry leaders who are united in refusing to hide their faith in Jesus from those that would try to silence us. Together, we choose to stand on God's Word, no matter the cost. As we face an increasingly hostile culture, the Association of Churches and Ministries provides a powerful platform to come together, grow, and be equipped for the ministry God has entrusted to you. By joining this collective, you gain exclusive access to invaluable resources, updates from Washington, D.C. to your leadership and ministry team, special discounts on FRC events, and much more. Together, we will stand firm, united in faith, unyielding in truth. Don't miss your chance to be a part of something greater. Visit acm.frc.org and become a member today.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Earlier this week, the Secretary General of the United Nations made comments appearing to blame Israel for the attacks that Hamas made on October 7th. Joining Tony Perkins on Wednesday to talk about it was Representative Chris Smith of New Jersey.
Chris, welcome to the program. Thank good you. To see you.
Good to see you as always, Tony. Thank you.
And Congressman Smith, also a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. So I want to talk Israel. But first, sure. I want to get your reaction to the House unanimously electing Mike Johnson as speaker today.
Sure. Every Republican rallied around Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is an absolutely class individual, full of love of Jesus, love of God. And he is a very, very effective scholar. You know, he's a constitutional lawyer. He understands how law is made, and he's a practitioner of all of this in a way that's going to substantially boost us and help us get our agenda forward. He's got such a nice way about him. He radiates the love of Christ, and he does it so effectively. And he'll take a lot of barbs. He already has taken some from the Democrats, but he'll return fire, but he'll do so in a very ethical way. So I couldn't be happier. He's an amazing guy.
And you're going to have a great ally as chairman of the Pro-Life Caucus.
Without a doubt.
I mean, he's strong. Mike and I have worked on some pro-life stuff going all the way back when I was in the Louisiana legislature. So let's talk Israel today. A resolution, one of the first orders of business as the House got back to business, was a resolution for the support of Israel. We're just talking with Mike Waltz about that. Why is this significant at this time?
Well, it was significant to have everybody, and it was bipartisan. As you pointed out, there were 425 co-sponsors, which never happens on any piece of legislation. Out of 435, that's amazing. But it sent a very clear message of our solidarity with Israel, as well as our profound opposition to Hamas and their use of torture, their use of rape, and all the terrorism tactics that they have deployed against Israelis, including Americans. Jewish Americans who were there, many have died as well. And, you know, Hamas really, and I've been saying this for years, I just had another hearing on it last June and talked a lot about how anti-Semitism is at the core. They teach it, as you know, Tony, in UNRWA, which is UN Works Relief Agency. We fund that. Trump had stopped it all completely. And now under Biden, we provided about $1 billion to these schools, which just promote anti-Semitism 24/7. And it's in the textbooks. So the culture of hate is promulgated every single day and taught to the next generation. And the generation that's doing the killing now has already been in those UNRWA camps as well as those schools. I have another hearing, Tony, set for November 8th on the United Nations. And they're very biased and anti-Semitic activities, whether it be UNRWA, the UN Human Rights Council, and now most recently, Secretary General Gutierrez, who said some very, very terrible things about Israel and so-called occupation.
Yeah, we played that. Earlier. But I want to play a clip of actually President Biden from earlier today, because his comments are not very helpful either. Play clip number two, please.
There's no going back to the status quo as it stood on October the 6th. That means ensuring Hamas can no longer terrorize Israel and use Palestinian civilians as human shields. It also means that when this crisis is over, there has to be a vision of what comes next. And in our view, it has to be a two-state solution.
I mean, this two-state solution idea, this is what brought us to Gaza and turning control of Gaza over to Hamas. I mean, what did they not get about this?
Tony, excellent point. The test case for the two-state solution was Gaza. You know, the Israelis turned it over in an exchange for peace, and they got nothing from it except terrorism and war. If there's an additional two-state, in other words, the West Bank and other parts go over to as a state to the Palestinians, we'll have, the proximity to Jerusalem and elsewhere will even be higher and greater, and the threat will be very, very profound. So I, two-state solution, it's been tried, it's been tested, and it's an utter failure.
And I would argue, as you just pointed out, that's how we got to this point of this.
It is. The Oslo Agreement.
The worst act of aggression, brutality since the Holocaust toward the Jewish people happened as a result of those that have been pushing policies in pursuit of this two-state solution.
Exactly. I've read the Hamas 1988, their manifesto, and I quoted it on during the floor debate today on the floor. They want Israel to be wiped off the map, all Jews killed. They call for the killing of all the Jews, and they say it very matter-of-factly in their document, and they're doing it. You know, if Israel was not resolute and had the iron will to push back, they would be wiped off the face of the earth. I can't believe the naivete of saying, let's go back to a flawed vision of two-state solution.
We're almost out of time, Chris, but I just want to ask you this question, and it's rhetorical, but when are we going to start believing what these people say? I mean, this goes all the way back to Adolf Hitler, that nobody wanted to believe what he was saying. I mean, this they're doing exactly what they said they were going to do.
You know, absolutely true. And even when to talk about peace conferences and the like, the Hamas Charter in 1988 makes very clear, and their reiteration of it in 2017, that there is no Israel. It will be done away with. So they're saying it. They say it again. They act on it. They kill people, innocent people. And we're supposed to,
In their textbooks, their maps don't even include Israel.
I've seen the textbook. I've seen the maps.
I have too.
There's no more Israel. And that's what my hearing will be focusing on. Another hearing on combating anti-Semitism, of course, with a special focus on the UN. And it's very, very aggressively bigoted view in all of its manifestations towards the state of Israel.
Well, thank you for shining a light on that. It needs to be done. Chris Smith, always great to see you. You do a great job for us on Capitol Hill, and we're grateful for you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for all your wonderful work.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.